We're back to the tabernacle tonight. We're going to read from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's read, please, from verse 31. Romans 8 and verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then if you'd go over, please, to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And we read in verse 3 of Hebrews 9. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat of which we cannot now speak particularly. Then I want us to go back to the Old Testament, to Leviticus 16. We're kind of doing things back to front tonight. Leviticus 16. We'll read, please, from verse 11. And here we have the Day of Atonement, or as the Jewish people refer to it, Yom Kippur. Leviticus 16 and verse 11. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. We're thinking tonight about the golden censer, the golden censer. We're coming to the Holy of Holies, and you might have thought that we're going to go right in and go straight to the Ark of the Covenant. A lot of people think that the only item of furniture in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, but there was actually the golden censer as well that was found in the Holy of Holies. And so before we get to the Ark of the Covenant, God willing, next Thursday night, we're going to think tonight about this golden censer that was located in the Holy of Holies. You need to remember, you need to know where it is in the Bible that we're told that the golden censer was in the Holy of Holies. Because when you read the Old Testament, you don't read of this censer in the Holy of Holies. But it's in the New Testament, and we read it tonight. Hebrews 9 and verse 4, it tells us there that in the holiest of all was the golden censer. Now, there were many censers. The priests of Israel, they used censers. And the censers were made of brass or copper. those censers were not used in the Holy of Holies. They were different from this golden censer. This golden censer was special. It was unique. It was different from the, what you could say, the normal censers or the everyday censers. Of course, when you think about censers, that's a wonderful study in itself. Maybe you're asking tonight, what on earth is a censer? A censer was a metal implement. It was a metal object, just like this here, you can see in the picture. And it was used to carry burning coals. And then the priest, he would take incense and he would sprinkle the incense on the coals that were in the censer. And then the aroma, the perfume, would go up from the censer. But it is a wonderful study. We think of the censer that we read of in Numbers. You remember how Korah and Dathan and Abiram rebelled against Moses and Aaron? In Numbers 16, we read there of a rebellion against God's anointed. And Korah and his comrades, they stood up and they said, "Who do you think you are, Moses? Who do you think you are, Aaron, lording it over us?" And they rebelled against God's anointed. It was out of jealousy. It was spite. It was envy. And you know, sad to say, the spirit of Korah and Dathan and Abiram is still around today. Sadly, you see it in churches even today where people rise up against God's anointed. But you find there that Moses, instructed by the Lord, he says to these rebels, he says, "Get yourselves censers." All 250 of those rebels, they were told to bring their censer. And you see, what happened was that Moses laid down the gauntlet, as it were, and he said to them, as they were gathered before him, he said, "If these men die a normal death, then God hasn't sent me, I'm not his anointed. But if these men die a supernatural death, then I am the anointed. I'm God's chosen one." Now Moses wasn't proud. He wasn't boasting. But he was just, he was, if you like, giving them a test and showing to the congregation of Israel who really was the anointed. And of course we know what happened. The ground opened up and it swallowed Korah and those other rebels that had rebelled against God's anointed servant. We're told there that God said that the censers of those rebels were to be taken, they were to be melted down, and they were to be used to make an altar. You can read that for yourself in Numbers chapter 16. In the same chapter, there's another incident involving a censer. You have there a plague that breaks out among the congregation. And Moses says to Aaron the high priest, "Take the censer and the burning coals and go in among the people and make an atonement. And stand between the living and the dead and stop the plague." And that's exactly what Aaron did. He made the atonement using the coals that were taken from the brazen altar, the place where the blood had been shed. And he ran in. And the judgment, the wrath was stayed because Aaron made atonement. And that's a picture of the Savior and the atonement that he has made. You see, the Lord Jesus, he's the one who stands between the living and the dead. He stands, as it were, in this world through his preachers, through his ministers, his evangelists. And he offers salvation to the living. The dead have gone to eternity. It's too late for them. But Jesus, as it were, is still standing today between the living and the dead, offering his so great salvation. And for those who will come to him and receive him, there's forgiveness and there's deliverance. But we're thinking tonight not about the ordinary censer, were thinking about the golden censer. And you've probably been looking at this statement here and saying to yourself, when is he going to get on to that? Well, here it is. Let's think about this for a moment. The golden censer was used by a special person. The high priest was the only person who was allowed to use the golden censer. The other priests, they could use the ordinary censers in the holy place day by day, but the high priest was the only person who could use this particular censer. It reminds us of our high priest tonight. You see, we read in Romans chapter 8 that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who died, yea, rather is risen again, and he makes intercession for us at the right hand of God. We didn't read it tonight, but we could have read Hebrews chapter 7, where it says that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. You see, the high priest is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as he prays for us tonight. Jesus is in heaven at God's right hand, and as it were, he has the censer. He has the golden censer, just like the high priest on the Day of Atonement in Leviticus chapter 16. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone into the Holy of Holies in heaven. He's gone right into the presence of God for us. And there in the presence of God, he's offering the incense. He's praying for us. You see, there might be a time whenever you think that there's nobody praying for you. And maybe you're in a situation, and some particular danger arises, or some sudden calamity befalls you, and you say to yourself, well, I haven't even got time to let anybody else know about it so that they can pray about it. Well, it's good to know that there's somebody who is praying. Jesus, our great high priest. It's good to know that he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's the special person. You know, whenever you study the prayers of the Lord Jesus, it's a wonderful study. You think about the prayer that he offered there in the Garden of Gethsemane in John 17, the high priestly prayer it's called. You think about the prayers that he offered on the cross. Father, forgive them. Into thy hand I commend my spirit. And those other prayers that he offered, it's a wonderful study. But you know, isn't it wonderful to know tonight that he hasn't stopped praying? His prayer life, his prayer ministry is being carried on in heaven. My, what a wonderful thought it is. Yes, the golden censer couldn't just be used by anybody. You know, one of the priests couldn't come along and say, oh, well, I think I'll use the golden censer today in the tabernacle. They weren't allowed to do that. This tabernacle was reserved for the high priest. This censer was reserved for the high priest. Of course, there's the lovely thought that the prayers of our Savior are perfect prayers. They're without blemish and they're without spot, and there's no wrong motive in them. There's no ulterior motive. His prayers aren't stained and contaminated by original sin the way our prayers are. Oh, how often our prayers are, you know, based upon wrong motives. We pray for the wrong reason. Sometimes, maybe through weariness of the flesh, we don't pray from the heart. You know, our prayers so often can be, unspiritual. And we can fall short of God's standard for prayer. But that can't be said of the Lord Jesus Christ. His prayers are wonderful. His prayers are effective. They always prevail before God. Now, The golden censer was not only used by a special person. Think secondly about this fact. The golden censer was used on a special day. We've referred to the Day of Atonement. We've read from Leviticus chapter 16. And how that the high priest, he was to take the coals in the golden censer from the golden altar that we looked at a couple of weeks ago on the Sunday morning. And the high priest was to go through the veil into the Holy of Holies. The coals had first of all been taken from the brazen altar, remember that? Just to get it right, just to get it in order. The coals that were in the golden censer, they had been taken from the brazen altar where the blood had been shed. Then they were taken to the golden altar, and then they were put into the golden censer and brought into the Holy of Holies. You know, it's a wonderful reminder, it's a wonderful picture of the power of the blood when it comes to prayer. You know, it's so important for us tonight in the place of prayer to plead the blood. It's important from the pulpit on a Sunday that the person in that pulpit, whether it's myself or somebody else, whoever it is, it's important that they plead the blood. The sad reality is that in many pulpits in Ulster today, you will not hear the blood mentioned in prayer. The person in the pulpit will go through the rigmarole and the ritual of a prayer, but the blood won't be mentioned. Therefore, there's no power in the prayer. You see, some people think, oh, well, if I grip my teeth, and if I really try extra hard, and if I pray for an hour, then surely my prayer will be effective. Surely my prayer will get through to God. That's not the way it works. Don't judge a prayer by its length. The Bible contains many short prayers, but they were very effective. But you see, the reason why prayer is effective, the reason why God ever answers our prayers, is because we plead the blood. Because, as it were, we're basing our petitions upon the blood that has been shed. How important it is that we always focus on the blood. The hymn writer said, never lose sight of Jesus. And when we come to the prayer meeting, that should be our motto. Never lose sight of Jesus. But we're thinking particularly tonight about the high priest and his ministry in the Holy of Holies. Not so much about ourselves tonight, although our prayers are important, but we're thinking tonight about the prayers of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, he prays the same way that we pray, or the same way that we should pray. When he comes before his Father in heaven and makes intercession for you and for me, he pleads the blood. Isn't that interesting? He pleads his own blood. He's in heaven tonight. He's praying for us. And he shows his hands and his wounded side, and he shows his pierced feet to the Father in heaven. And he presents his own blood before the Father. And he says, Father, answer the cries of those believers in new buildings tonight because of my shed blood. Save their loved ones because I shed my blood. Grant them their requests. Father, you see that little band of people who meet faithfully week by week, Thursday evening by Thursday evening, and others despise them and wouldn't join them in the prayer meeting. Father, answer their prayers. Grant their petitions.
not because they can pray, not because they're great, skillful people in prayer, but answer their prayers because of my finished work, because of the atoning sacrifice that I have made. Oh, the golden censer was also used for a special function. You see, whenever the high priest went in through the veil, immediately he had to put the incense on the burning coals in this golden censer. If he didn't do it, he would be slain. We read in Leviticus 10 about Nadab and Abihu that they approached the Lord with what the scriptures call strange fire. Strange fire, that's the term that's used. The fire wasn't taken from the brazen altar. The coals in their censers weren't taken from the place where the blood had been shed. They approached God their own way. They said, as it were, Jehovah, we don't need to approach you by the blood. We'll just come our own way. And the rest is history. That's what happens to the person who rejects the blood of Christ. That's what happens to the person who thinks that they can come into the presence of God any other way. Anyone who thinks that they can approach a holy God any way apart from the blood and apart from the cross, ultimately they too will be destroyed.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for the blessed ministry of our great high priest. Thank you, Lord, for his perfect prayers before the throne of grace. Lord, so often our prayers are feeble, and Lord, we think of our stammering, stuttering tongues. But how we praise thee for his wonderful prayers. Lord, we thank thee tonight that he prays that his people would be united. He prays for the unity of the church. Lord, help us to be united. Lord, may we, Lord, guard against division and strife, Lord, bitterness one toward another. Lord, we thank you tonight that our Saviour prays that we would not faint. Lord, we think of how he prayed for Peter there, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. How we thank thee that, Lord, because Christ is praying for us, we shall not fail. Lord, we do pray that you'll help us to be encouraged tonight as we think of the one at thy right hand who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Lord, we thank thee for the prayers of thy people here tonight, and we pray that you'll bless your children, and we do pray, Lord, that you'll watch over them, over, Lord, these next days. Oh Lord, even, Lord, as we go about our different work, and Lord, as we, Father, would be busy, engaged in many different activities, Lord, we ask that the precious blood would be upon us. Lord, shelter us beneath that blood. Protect us from the attacks of the devil. Lord, we believe in these days that he's attacking the health of your people. Lord, those who are seeking to live for Christ and seeking to reach the lost. Lord, we believe that he's busy trying to bring broken health upon them. And so we do pray that you would shelter all your faithful people under the Saviour's blood. And be with us now, we pray, as we leave thy house. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be our portion until Jesus comes or calls. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.